It's Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Do you remember cramming for a test, trying to regurgitate everything you learned over a semester so that you could pass the final exam and get out of high school intact? Sure you do. That is the situation a 12th grade English class finds itself in a play on stage at In Tandem Theater this month. But there is a twist.
In this case, three teachers, a student teacher, the gym teacher, and a drama teacher, all combine forces to portray some of the greatest works of literature in rapid fire and very funny form. The play is called All the Great Books Abridged, and I caught up with director Chris Fleer and actors Ryan Schabach, Chris Good, and Doug Jarecki on a break from rehearsal. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk with me.
Thank you,
Bonnie. Good to be here.
So tell me about this play.
This is part of the Reduced Shakespeare Company's franchise of abridged versions of many different subjects. They've done the complete works of Shakespeare abridged, the Bible abridged, American history abridged, all of moviedom abridged. This one is my personal favorite because it kind of follows a narrative arc, and it's just got some remarkably comically staged bits to help you along with delving into the complex world of the great world's literature.
Who are all of you? Do you play many characters?
We do have set characters that we play. For example, I play Coach, who is the gym teacher and coach. But throughout the course of the play, we jump into different characters as we bring these different books to life. So we are, all of us are a little bit of everything in every book, I think.
Chris, do you have a main?
Yes, I'm playing the student teacher, and like Doug and Ryan, we're constantly putting on hats and dresses and vests and different clothing items when our characters are slipping into other characters from the world of literature, and so it's very manic and a lot of fun.
Okay, so we have the coach, the student teacher, and Ryan, you are?
And I'm the professor, the very egotistical, pompous, smarty pants, knows it all. Probably
English
hasn't.
Professor.
English. Well, yeah, professor of theater.
Oh.
Yes. Probably hasn't read any of these books, but fancies himself illiterate.
All right, so what's the setup? Why are we in this world of great literature?
So the audience is a remedial English class, and they failed their midterm, and they need this class to graduate. Graduation is in 1 hour and 45 minutes. So these three fine gentlemen here have an abbreviated amount of time to take them through 89 of the world's greatest works of literature so they can graduate.
And mayhem ensues.
And yes, hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the three actors, are there books that you hadn't read that now you want to read because of this? Or are you thinking, I never want to touch any of this stuff?
There were a shocking number of books that I had not read. And while my desire to read them has grown, my ability to do so probably has not. No, but I love, some of these books are classics that we read in school, and I have not read a lot of them. But what's fun about this play is that it's dealt with, the subject matter is dealt with such a fondness and respect for the books. There's no mean-spirited making fun of these books. It is written with a real genuine fondness for the works, and I think that just brings out even more of the humor in it as well. So it does make me want to go and read some of these. Maybe I will, Bonnie.
Which one?
The one with the most pictures.
Yeah.
I do think we make War and Peace sound really entertaining. I've never read War and Peace, but Coach says at one point that it has it all, and we're doing it all the things that War and Peace...
All the things of War and Peace.
Yeah, that you know, supposedly has packed within it. So it does seem entertaining. Maybe I'll try to read War and Peace.
Put aside the summer.
Yes. For my light summer reading, I shall read War and Peace.
War and Peace. And how about you, Ryan?
I'm positive that I read War and Peace when I was supposed to be in undergrad, which I think I went to. But when I went back home the last time, I took a look at all of my paperback books, and I saw the bookmark was on page 5, so I have a feeling that I never made it through War and Peace. But it all sounds so familiar now that I have my lines memorized. And that's a joke. I don't have my lines memorized.
Yeah, we know.
Talk about the narrative arc. You said there's a narrative arc to this. I mean, do people have a quiz at the end? Or
The audience will not be quizzed. There is a question asked of the audience during intermission is, what do you feel are the two best works of literature and why. So the audience will be encouraged to fill out a little form, and we will read some of the responses during the second act of the show. But this show, because it's set up that there's a reward at the end, the graduation, that this must happen, and that there's a very limited amount of time in which it's going to happen, just increases the whole urgency, not only for the people on stage, but hopefully the audience will kind of get into the spirit of the thing to see if these guys can really, really pull it off, you know.
So are you actually interacting with the audience, or is there just too much happening in terms of being an actor that you can't do that?
The conceit that, like, we're all here and, like, you know, the audience is in participating in the evening as much as the performers are, I think is the most fun part about it, because it's very engaging that way. And yeah, there are moments where it's less like you're watching, just simply watching a story unfold on stage, and more like you're part of it, whether or not you're directly engaged or not, because, you know, you're here in the Cafe Gymnatorium with us, and you have an objective just as much as we do, to graduate.
Does audience response change anything that you do?
I think it definitely does.
Yeah.
The authors that have worked on this have worked on multiple other shows, just like what Chris was saying, and they've given us little hints as to what they've received in the thousands of productions that they've done previous to this. There's a podcast called The Reduced Shakespeare Company, and Austin Titchener, one of the writers of this, has that podcast, and he talks about how every single night is different and unique based off of what that audience gives back, because it's such a group culture. So if this whole new audience comes in with a different feeling one night versus the next, they kind of feed off of each other, and we get a different response. And part of the joy of this piece is that you have to kind of be on your toes to feed off of what they're giving you.
Yeah, even more than normal. I mean, because theater requires that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're doing Chekhov, if you're doing Shakespeare for real, you need to feed what's happening. But this sounds like it's even more instant.
90% of this show is direct address to the audience, because these guys are basically teaching a class. You know, there are some exchanges between the characters, and that's also kind of an interesting difference between this particular piece and some of the other pieces that RSC has written, is that the characters are a little bit more fleshed out, and the way the characters relate to each other, the way they bump up against each other in terms of their different disciplines and their different assumptions about each other, kind of, is a little bit more explored, perhaps, in some of the other pieces. But that's why it's kind of interesting. It's because it's great fun for the audience to participate in either reviewing a book that they might have read in the past, or learning about a work that they had always meant to read but haven't, and perhaps that might spur them on to read the original work, but also to see the way that these three very different personality types and individuals have to come together and kind of set their differences aside in order to create this experience to get these people graduated, and how they kind of rise above themselves to do it.
So does Coach have a favorite book?
Oh, yeah, very much so. It is War and Peace,
okay,
because it has everything.
1.9 million pages
That's
of it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I think part of the fun of this, too, and it's really a nicely crafted piece, is that these three were not the first choices to teach this course. For a variety of reasons, they are the ones who, at the last minute, have stepped in to teach this course. So it's not as though they came in with a really well-prepared curriculum. This is a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants, doing the best you can to remember that book that you maybe read in high school. And so there's a real sort of teetering on the edge energy that is from start to finish. And when it's a really well-written piece, too, in that there are moments for the audience energy to become more of a part of a show than before. And it is that energy really fuels that whole, are they going to make it in time? Are they going to graduate? And it's really, it has sort of a anything might happen next sort of a feel, which is fantastic.
And it could.
It could.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. None of us are really memorized. So,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It could happen.
So does the student teacher have a favorite book?
His favorite book is The Lord of the Rings.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, well, even though he thinks that it was the book that was based on the series of movies, so nonetheless, he still loves it very much.
Okay. And how about the theater professor?
Well, the theater professor is very much intimidated by War and Peace. I would say that would be the least favorite book, does not want to do that. But The professor is very much enamored of a bunch of poems and has a whole section where it kind of combines a lot of poetry into a short little medley.
Is there a quick scene that you guys could do for me to give us a taste?
We could do perhaps a little bit. They take on the monumental task of distilling Miguel de Cervantes' Don Quixote into about a three-minute section. And they also do it in the original Spanish, as translated by Christopher, the student teacher.
Okay.
I just put Ryan on the spot here because he's been struck with this man.
It's radio. You can use your script.
I need to find my script here.
Yes.
Let's get some background noise.
We'll give you just a taste of that.
Just a taste of that.
Oh, right. Lord have mercy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miguel de Cervantes' classic, Don Quixote, performed in the original Spanish with English subtitles.
Soy Don Quixote de la Mancha.
I am Don Quixote of La Mancha.
El desechador de injusticia.
The undoer of injustice.
El protector de doncellas.
The protector of damsels.
Y el terror de gigantes.
And the terror of giants.
Montaré mi magnifico caballo, Rocinante.
I will ride on my magnificent horse, Rocinante.
Ah, Rocinante.
Rocinante.
Hola, señor Quijado. Me llamo Sancho Panza. ¿Cómo está?
Hello, Mr. Quijado. My name is Sancho Panza. How
no,
are you?
Soy señor Quijado. Soy Don Quixote de la Mancha.
I am not Mr. Quijado. I am Don Quixote of La Mancha.
Yo requiero un escudero fiel para mi pesquisa.
I require a faithful squire for my quest.
¿Me acompañas?
Will you join me?
No sé.
I'm not sure.
Quiero hacer bien.
I want to do right.
A los hechos malos.
To right wrongs.
Y impresionar Dulcinea.
And to win the love of Dulcinea.
La chica con los melones más grandes en España.
The girl with the biggest hands in Spain.
Sí, te acompañarás en tu sueño imposible.
Yes, I will join you in your impossible dream.
Pero tengo miedo que yo no pueda marchar al paso de un asno de este tamaño.
But I'm afraid that I will not be able to keep pace with an ass of this size.
¿Y cómo fue que Cristóbal pudo hacer todo en inglés?
And how come Christopher gets to do the whole scene in English?
Porque Cristóbal es estúpido.
Because Christopher is stupendous. Hola. Hello.
Andale!
Let's ride.
Alto!
Stop.
Mira, amigo Sancho. Gigantes.
Look, friend Sancho, giants.
Usted es loco. Todo lo que veo son molinos de vientos.
You are delusional, my friend. All I see are windmills.
No estoy loco.
Sanity is overrated.
Perdóname.
I'm sorry.
Mi mal.
My bad.
Gracias.
Thank you.
They know what gracias means.
¿Saben qué quiere decir gracias?
Tengo que atacar.
I must attack.
Ha ha!
There were coconuts.
There were coconuts, yes. They're super fun.
You can't go wrong.
No.
If there are coconuts.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for that.
Thanks a lot, Bonnie.
And best of luck.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Chris Fleer directs, and Ryan Schabach, Chris Good, and Doug Jarecki star in Tandem Theater's production of All the Great Books Abridged, which opens tonight and runs through the 29th at the 10th Street Theater.